Ladies and gentlemen, I did a rookie mistake 101. I was waiting for Mag, so I figured I would jump ahead. I started everything up, and guess what? For the last 5 minutes, I've been stoked because not only are we talking about Star Wars, which is one of your most anticipated games, but it is getting godlike reviews. And I'm not surprised by this, simply because it's Respawn Entertainment, folks. And they released Jedi Fallen Order a couple of years ago. Jedi Survivor is the follow-up. And look, Cal Kestis, what an amazing new character that eventually is going to be brought into live action. You know, again, you know, we have some very concerning information behind the scenes, which will make the trades that Mag and I were talking about last night regarding the future of Star Wars,
yes,
which we really can't discuss right now. But you'll hear it. If not later today, definitely by tomorrow, mm-hmm. The trades are going to break the story. And it's kind of sucks, to be honest with you. But Mag, you happen to be here,
yes,
on the cusp of very bad news for Activision, Blizzard, King, and of course, more importantly, Microsoft, where the CMA decided that they would block the deal based on cloud ideology that really does not make sense. But where we have breaking news, Mag, and where this really does get into the weeds is it's being reported by several people, one of which, I'll read his name. His name is Brandon Ross at Brandon Lightshed. Now, I don't know who Brandon is, but I have to read his post verbatim because it is incredibly concerning. Now, Mag, last week you heard that some senators from from our government here in the United States accused the FTC of conspiring with other foreign entities to block American companies from doing business there. It's anti-competitive at its best. I honestly cannot believe that Lina Khan would put the interest of herself before American companies looking to make business in other regions. And a lot of that was conjecture, right? I thought it was a suggestion. I thought that there might be, you know, a talking point, because you know how senators are here in this country. They grandstand and they say things, and sometimes there's no merit. Well, folks, I'm here to tell you, I have some incredibly disturbing reporting to talk about with Mag today. Apparently, Bobby Kotick, CEO of Activision, basically sat down with CNBC on Squawk Box, and he says this, folks. Lina Khan met with CMA prior to the CMA blocking the Microsoft deal, and he calls them out by saying that the CMA is being used as a tool by the United States FTC. Wow. Here's a direct quote from Bobby Kotick. He says, "We see these regulators like Lina Khan's ideology shouldn't play a role in the functioning of the FTC. We're protecting foreign COS who have free access and open access to our markets, and we're handcuffing American companies that isn't going to serve the interests of America." Mag, this is not surprising.
Not at all.
It was basically said during the hearing with the JFTC regarding the Japan passing it, but it was also mentioned in the finance hearings. And Lina Khan, again, I understand she has this stout ideology of not wanting big tech to roll over consumers, but this, I think, stands for someone in government to remove her from position. I think this is anti-America. I think it's anti-competitive, and I think that her meeting with the FTC, her meeting with the CMA, being the head of the FTC, is very concerning.
It's a conflict of interest to me.
100.
It's a conflict of interest when you're dealing with two separate countries.
Yeah, well,
shouldn't be any of their business. Well, you know, the thing is, first of all, I want to just say this right off the bat here. So I was called all kinds of names in the chat. Didn't matter whether it was this show, not this show, but Primetime Gaming or with Colt on XNC. And I've said it. I've been saying it for weeks. I've been saying it for months. I said there is something going on with this. I was called all kinds of names. You should have heard the names I was called. I was called a MAGA conspiracy, not MAG.
Wow. Wow.
MAGA. A conspiracy theorist, a psycho, lunatic, January 6th, support, all these horrible things, right? So I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. But you know what it is? Guess what? I was right.
You were right.
I was right about every single ounce of it. And I said it from the beginning. I said, Lina Khan and her people were puppets put in place by Biden. I'm Canadian, so I have no dog in this. I have no dog in this race when it comes to American politics. I just see what I see from, you know, what I like to call Canada. We're the apartment upstairs, right? So we're looking down to see what you guys are up to down there. So I see it from there. She was a puppet put in place by Biden to continue to push his agenda, the agenda. I like to say the ideology is put before common sense and business. And this is the problem that's going on with this whole thing. This spreads far and wide, past video games, past the tech world, past Hollywood. And everything is bombing except for like what? The ones that don't have ideology, identity, politics, all this other crap that's going on right now. And that spills into the FTC. And you could see it by the way they talk, the way they move, the way that they operate. And then the fact that they're going behind people's backs to canoodle with the CMA is completely I think it was a borderline unconstitutional at that point. But like to me, it's a conflict of interest. It's a conflict of what everything is going on. The thing is, I'll tell you one thing, though. At the end of the day, this is going to make one hell of a Netflix Apple TV movie. Like, because one day, this is going to end up... anybody who hasn't seen the movie Tetris on Apple TV, please do yourself a favor. It's going to be up for film of the year. It's something else about the story of how Tetris was made. I tell you right now, this situation is going to be made into a drama because it's a living drama that we're seeing right now. And the fact that this was coming out, we talked about this last night on Primetime Gaming. You brought it up, Boom. I brought it up. I think KS Hudley brought it up. A couple of us brought it up saying there is more to this going on behind the scenes, and it's going to come out slowly over the next few days. And that's what's going to end up happening. And what happens? It's not even 24 hours, Boom, and it's already hitting the streets. And that's when you – and the other thing I mentioned – the smear campaign. Can we touch on that? I don't know if it's
Please, by all means, go remember crazy.
We talked about it last night too, brother. The smear campaign is going to start with not with Microsoft. It's going to be Microsoft and of course their interested partners against the UK, right? And what did they do this morning? You had Brad Smith talking the way you do.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Yeah, let's talk about
the darkest day in 40 years, and then. Don't think that that wasn't on purpose that he brought up the fact that they are in control of the UK's security.
Yeah.
Right? When it comes to Homeland Security is all run by Microsoft. And Brad Smith was very strategic in saying so. Did you hear that? He says, we've been controlling their national security for decades now. And, of course, working with the guy. And, of course, an integral part of the operations, the day-to-day operations of the UK government, right? So, and that was brought up for a reason. That was brought up so that it basically piques the interest and raises the eyebrows of the government, because the government now can get involved and they could say something and say, hey, he says, you guys want to calm down over there and let this thing go through? I said, because you're going to cause us a lot of problems down the road. And I know people I've seen people on Twitter this morning saying, who cares? Get someone else to do it. Good luck getting somebody with an infrastructure as regulated and perfectly attuned as Microsoft, which has been doing things since the 80s. Okay, Google can do it, sure. But Google's got their own self-interest. I mean, they all do have self-interest.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not the same, Boom. It's not the same.
You know what I have in front of me, Mag? Yes. I have the Brad Smith interview.
Go for it.
Yeah. So I'm gonna share this. I'm gonna share the screen with everybody. I hope that you can hear it. And I'm gonna play it live in a second. Let me just get back to it. Hold on, just a second.
There we go. That's the one the one I was looking at this morning. Yes.
Folks, check it out. This is exactly what Mag was talking about. So I'm going to play it for you live on the air, and then we'll discuss it.
Of course, very disappointed about the CMA's decision, but more than that, unfortunately, I think it's bad for Britain. The business community, the investment community, and the technology sector around the world have been following this case. And the strong message the CMA has sent is not just to surprise everyone who fully expected this acquisition to be approved, but to send a message that I think will discourage innovation and investment in the United Kingdom. And I think in that sense, the impact of this decision is far broader than on Microsoft or this acquisition alone. Microsoft has been in the United Kingdom for 40 years, and we play a vital role, not just supporting businesses and nonprofits, but even defending the nation from cybersecurity threats. But this decision, I have to say, is probably the darkest day in our four decades in Britain. It does more to shake our confidence in the future of the opportunity to grow a technology business in Britain than we've ever confronted before.
Ooh, that is a bombshell. Go for it, brother.
That's a big deal. Again, I you know, there's some people saying, oh, you see, Brad Smith threatened. There's no threat there, folks. We have been in Britain for four decades. They've worked hand in hand. I kind of wonder if this does go, and it's going to go to Kat, and Kat is ultimately going to be educated in, they're going to have to see that this decision is wrong, especially that the CMA is hanging their hats on cloud, which does not have a market, folks. It is not a viable market. Anyone that wants to play cloud, that's not their main go-to. If you had a choice between hardware, whether that be your phone, your tablet, your PC, or your home console, that is where you're going to play a Twitch shooter like Call of Duty. You're not going, like, I play on the cloud when I'm sitting in front of the TV. Mrs. Boom and I are watching one of our J dramas or our K dramas, which we do every night, and we love it. And I want to continue playing Marvel Snap, or I want to play Vampire Survivors. I use my Logitech G Cloud, and the world's a better place. But is that where I would play if we weren't watching TV? Am I going to play Ghostwire Tokyo or Redfall or Star Wars Jedi Survivor? No, I would never. I'd play it on local hardware. And I think, Mag, there's something to be said here. You know, the CMA made a mistake about how they judged the numbers, and they had to go back and rescind everything they said about the numbers. They got the numbers wrong. Well, guess what? There are several reports out of the UK that are suggesting that they got it wrong again with cloud, trying to equate the numbers from Game Pass overall umbrella, like Game Pass, here's Game Pass, umbrella, everything is cloud. That is not the facts. That is incorrect judgment. I can guarantee you that if you saw maybe a million players per month playing on cloud, it's not their main draw. To suggest that all 30 million players are cloud-based, that is wrong. That is wrong. That is incorrect. Just like they were incorrect about the numbers about Sony. So I think that, you know what? Last night, Mag, I actually was like, yeah, they should just give up. I wake up this morning to read all of these reports, and I'm like, they should fight this tooth and nail.
Yeah, and you know what? It's at this point, it almost feels like they need to fight this, not even just for the sake of getting the deal through. It almost feels like they need to fight this thing for, I know it sounds silly, but a borderline for just to battle the corruption.
Industry. Justice. Yeah.
And to, you know what I mean? To not allow these clowns to get away with that stuff. And again, it's not about the decision to me. It's about what happened behind the scenes and the reasons why. And that's the bigger thing. So like at the end of the day, Microsoft not getting into the cloud business or even in the mobile business, generally doesn't affect the average consumer. A lot of that, what they're doing that for is for people that are not us. We're not the Candy Crush crowd. Yeah, okay, we do it when we're sitting around, like, you know, in the bathroom or like waiting at the doctor's office. You know, I'm not firing up I'm not firing up Game Pass on my phone, you know, if I'm only going to be sitting there for like 11 minutes, right? But anyway, the point is, that's not for us. What they need to do is they need to battle this for a different reason, because at this point, they want to talk about ideology, then Microsoft should fight this on the basis of true ideology. Of what, you know what I mean? As opposed to a corrupt reason. And the fact, once again, that I'm going to bring up again, is the fact that Lena Khan was speaking to them is just showing that there was, that there's coercion between the two of them. That is the biggest problem there.
It's funny, you know? Mag, to your point, you used two words that I used very early when the CMA's junior varsity team was like using block emojis. And I said, if this deal is blocked, it is going to be because of collusion or corruption or both. And yes, I am going to say that we know that the CMA has ties to Sony. We know that they have ties to Jim Ryan. We have just learned and have on confirmed facts, folks, that Lena Khan met with the CMA prior to this being announced as a block, tells me that there's collusion. And I think what's worse, Mag, is the fact that she... Now, there's someone dropped a super chat in here. Let me just get to it, because they make mention of where she was from. Brett Bingham, generous friend of the show. Lena Khan dropped a $5 super chat and says, Lena Khan wasn't even born here. She was born in the UK.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I did not know that. So we know, I mean, whether she has ties or not, it could be equated that she does. Drawn TJ drops a very generous $2 super chat and says the deal needs to go through. And absolutely, it does. Again, I know that a lot of us are sick of talking about the deal. We want to talk about games, which we're going to do. Obviously, we're going to talk about games here. Jez Corden is in the chat. First of all, Jez, dude, thank you so much for being here, brother. Incredible written piece that he did right after the block. I will add it to the show notes so you could check it out. He calls out many people in this article. Very, very well written. And he's right. And you know, Jez, for a long time, if you've seen him on the Xbox 2 podcast with Randall419, he's gone on record saying that, you know, that the government here is just, they make bad decisions. I won't say exactly what he said, but he equated to that. And we're learning more and more that we're starting to see pieces, articles written about how this decision is ultimately going to hurt the UK. Why would you take a chance to invest in the UK, that if you want to better your business by acquiring a technology, Mag, or a company that's going to help your business grow, you have to worry about getting boxed out because of a corrupt ideology that is, in fact, the UK. Now, there is some saving grace to all of this, because I know Microsoft isn't going to pull out all of their services out of the UK. I mean, that's a scorched earth thing. I don't even know if that's possible.
No. That was basically a gentle reminder of what they do for the country.
Yeah. Yeah.
About it that way, right? Like the way that Brad Smith phrased everything, it wasn't a threat. I mean, some people are saying, oh, it's a threat. It wasn't a threat.
It's not a threat. It's facts.
It was a corporate, it's a fact. They're facts. However, it was a corporate gentle reminder as to the importance of what they do there. And the thing is, we discussed again last night about how the UK plans on becoming a beacon of technology for the continent, not just for the UK. They want to be a beacon of technology for all of Europe. Right. So they're going for the UK, Europe. And you know what I mean? And so like that's going to be a whole situation there. Well, people are not going to be willing to invest if they got shaky legs, right? Well, and that's the way I look at it. And he mentioned that word for word, did he not?
Yes, yes, he did.
The confidence of the confidence of investors are shaken.
Well, it has been quoted, Mag, that they want to be seen. You used the word beacon.
Yes.
But I'll take it even further. It's been said that they want to be the Silicon Valley.
That's correct.
Of Europe, there right? Of the UK for others, for the beacon, for everyone to want to invest. And that's not going to happen. This decision is going to shake many people's confidence. And what's crazy is that their system of government is very I think it's incredibly flawed. You have an argument, you potentially can get to CAT, they can agree with you, they can say that yeah, this isn't right, and then it goes right back to the same folks that denied you for them to deny you again. We've seen it happen only one time, and I know Luke Steele was gracious enough to not only be patient while we did almost a 3-hour podcast to get his take, but he said in the history of the CMA, a blocked decision has never been reversed. I kind of feel in my heart, though, Mag, that this might be one of those decisions that we see.
This might be
break,
the first time.
Break a boundary, yes. Break through a wall. And like I said, I think you know, that there's going to be potentially some governmental oversight into what Microsoft does, but they have already said that they would pay for a third party to monitor Call of Duty. Now, when PlayStation got taken off the board, that same ideology, which is the word of the day, can be used for them in regards to cloud. And I think, like I said, I think the ramifications of this are tremendous. I think that it is going to hurt the UK and potentially anyone that would, I mean, like, Mag, before we move on to Star Wars, you know, if you have a company and you see this, are you going to even consider
Never.
Investing?
No, I would not. I wouldn't even consider it. I would, because if you're going to be facing that kind of scrutiny in order to attempt to move something forward in a positive manner in order to give access to more people and to allow more people to enter the ecosystem, I would probably think twice about going, you know what I mean, about investing there or even trying to set up shop, because I'm like, if they're going to scrutinize what I'm doing this hard in order to try and make, yeah, of course, at the end of the day, we understand they're there to make money. Okay, Microsoft's there to make money. They're not there to make friends. But at the same time, you are also denying access to, 150 million extra people into the ecosystem that they wanted to be able to utilize. Now, yes, I get it. Adding 150 million people to their ecosystem, or at least access to their ecosystem, brings them more money. We get it. But at the same time, the consumers are the ones who are going to benefit from this. And that being the case, for stopping that, I'm saying, well, what would stop them from, you know, from blocking my idea or my investment or my company or my merger with, you know, fill in the blank. You know what I mean? Because I got a small startup and I got something that's going on. It's going to be hot. It's going to be something big. These guys all started in garages at one point. Okay. All of them. You know what I mean? Microsoft, Apple, Google, Amazon, they all started in someone's garage. So these startups are how these things become multi-trillion dollar corporations. They don't start that way. Right. So you could have a startup that's interested in doing something. Say, listen, I got a $1 trillion idea and someone sees the potential in it. Do you think they're going to go to the UK to do that? No, because the thing is, maybe at the beginning, let's say in the beginning, not everything's fine. Let's say they start to grow and they start to become incredibly profitable and they start to grow exponentially. Then what happens? What happens 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road, when you start to get ambitious and say, we want to expand even further, and they say no. And they start to investigate or this and that. That's what they're thinking about. They're not thinking about tomorrow. They're not right. Thinking about even like the next day or even the next year, never even the next 5 years. These companies are thinking what's going to happen in the next 50 to 100 years, right? After they're gone, the legacy they're leaving behind to their family, to everybody else, whatever. That's what they're thinking about. They're thinking about a trajectory that you and I don't even think about. Like people like Elon Musk and all these guys, people may love them, hate them, whatever. Doesn't matter. They have projections that go for like a century of where their businesses are going to go. Microsoft, no different. They're not going anywhere.
I would dare say, Mag, that Microsoft is ahead of the curve on every company because even when companies are thinking 10 years out, they're thinking 50.
Of course they are. And that's why we, even in the gaming circuit, what we've talked about many times is that in the gaming world, Microsoft is no longer interested, and Sony and Nintendo, well, Nintendo maybe not so much, but they're not interested in us. We're not the market, because they're thinking 30 years from now. They're looking at my children. They're looking at my children's children, because that's, they already know they got us. They got us for the money. We got it. We have expendable income at this point in our lives, right? Because we're much older, this and that. And therefore, we're, you know, we're already in the ecosystem. They're not interested in that. They're interested in my kids. They're targeting, like I said, they're targeting the 5-year-olds, the 10-year-olds right now, because those are the ones who are going to be paying money in five to 10 years from now. And 20 years from now, when they start having their own kids, they're going to want them too. And that's how it works. Yeah. Right. And the thing is, if you've got this situation where every single move, not every single move, but if you tried to make a big, ambitious move that, yes, obviously is self-serving. Let's not lie to ourselves. This is a self-serving situation. Microsoft is not doing this for me. They're not doing it for you.
No. You know, it's funny. You know, I made mention of it. I said, look, it's widely known that Mrs. Boom and I, we're in a nice area. We have a nice apartment, but we want to be owners. Right. And we've been saving, and we're going to continue to save. And hopefully sometime in next year or even the following year, depending on how the market is, we're going to buy our first home. Now, we're a little bit older. We wish we would have been able to do it earlier, but, you know, circumstances. Yeah. And I said this in joking, if this deal being blocked would have hurt us getting our home because I had investments, then I'd really be upset. Then I'd be throwing a tantrum because you've now effed me.
Think about like those employees, Boom.
Yeah, well, that's the human element. That's the human element about the one thing I think I like to pride myself in, Mag, is the channel is a video game channel, but the human element is never removed from the conversation. I know people make fun of me when cream cheese was $7 and eggs were $15 a dozen, and I would talk about it, and you're like, Boom, why are you talking about it? Because it's a reality, and because things are so expensive, Mag. Gaming is an entertainment, right? That's the first thing to go. I'm a retiree. Now, I have a great pension. I have great benefits. Mrs. Boomstick and I, we're doing okay. But pensions, as you would know, have a ceiling.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Sometimes there are decisions that have to be made, that adult decisions.
Well, that's
pay the rent or buy games.
I'm going to pay the rent. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I was going to say the same thing exactly. Like, now I've already changed my mentality moving forward, and I'm like, all right, whatever. I'm not gonna have this situation live rent free in my head anymore. I'm just gonna move on from it, and whatever happens, happens. Like, when it happens, go ahead. So there's that. And then, anyways, the point is that I'm going to be more picky and choosy about what happens moving forward, whether I buy from Xbox or I buy from Sony. I'm going to look at what's coming out in the year and say, okay, you know what? I'm going to buy this and this and this, and then everything else can wait. And that's all there is to it. And I'm going to squeeze every ounce out of those games or whatever, right? Because they're getting more and more and more expensive. And of course, you know, the naive part of me was thinking, oh, practically everything's going to end up in Game Pass at some point, so I don't have to worry about it, right? Well, that clearly isn't the case, right? So and that's not going to be the case moving forward, unless something, you know, major happens. Apparently, people are asking us to check our DMs. Something's going on. But anyways,
I'm gonna check my DM right now. But I do want. Let me do a quick check. Yeah, hold on a second. DMs.
Oh, for him to send a super chat.
Who sent that? Sir X-Men?
Yes, he did.
Okay, yeah, Mike Mullis, who's a good friend of this channel, he says, whoa, what? This might be part of a reason Congress was going hard on Lena Khan last week over Sony. She met with the CMA prior to the decision. Now I see why Microsoft and Activision immediately started working on the appeal. Thanks, brother. We actually did make mention of that.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We covered it at the beginning of the show.
Post up also added it. Breaking news: according to Bobby Kotick, the head of the CMA and Lena Khan had a meeting a week and a half ago in Washington D.C. Does this align with the 2-week period that Brad Smith said the agency went dark on them? I mean, it could very well be.
Are they allowed? Like, okay, my question is, because I don't know the answer. I don't know if anybody in the chat knows, or anybody, or even you, Boom. Is that Can they do that? Like, is there any conflict of interest there? Or
it seems like collusion. I mean, I could put it to this way: if there is an inkling of it, Microsoft is going to then bring all of this, because this deal ultimately, folks, should go through, right? I understand the ramifications of Call of Duty, but this was Call of Duty. The conversation of Call of Duty was taken off the board by the CMA themselves. The cloud thing is weak sauce at best. Like I said, Jez Corden, first of all, brother, thank you so much for the 5-pound super sticker. I want to read a part of his article and his closing statement. Now, this article, I'm going to add to the show notes so you can read it for yourself. It is a fantastic read. Once again, Jez Corden doing what he does best, and that is journalism at its finest. He says in closing, "This decision makes absolutely no real world sense, but that's par for the course with the British establishment, which is becoming well-versed in making self-damaging decisions in recent years. It's unclear if Microsoft's appeal to the UK regulators will have any impact on the decision, but buckle in. This appeals process will keep the deal in the headlines through 2024, most likely." Now, this is someone that lives in the region. He reports for Windows Central and has been on many occasions very finger-pointing at the UK for decisions that ultimately not only hurt the region, but more importantly, hurt the consumer who they're supposed to protect. And they used the word consumers multiple times and in this laughable blocked decision. I don't know what else to say, but I'm going to catch up on the super chats that have been here. And then we're going to get into Star Wars, because obviously this is only a 70-minute show and I got to get out of here by 10 after 12. 10 after 1. I'm sorry. So let's see. We have Crazy G14. Basically drops a very generous 5-pound super chat and says, "Gloves are starting to come off at Microsoft. Time to hit rivals where it hurts. Keep up the great work, Boom." Well, thank you for the generosity, but more importantly, thank you for the kind words. Drawn TJ drops an additional $5 super chat and says, "It's funny, if the government was ran Republican, this deal would have gone through with no problem." I mean, I hate politics. Politics is just filthy, and I hate talking about it. I don't know if that, in fact, is the truth or it's not. The bottom line is the FTC still does not have a case to block this deal, regardless of what happened with the CMA. Now, I will say that if the EU Commission blocks it, I don't know if this deal can ever go through. But if I kind of feel like the EU Commission seemed more favorable to push the deal through. I don't think they're going to use cloud as a problem, especially because now we have time. Microsoft can use all of the evidence that they have for the misinformation that the CMA seems to be giving regarding cloud. And maybe they do, instead of saying, no, we can't do the remedies because it's procedural and we're going to have to be involved, maybe the EU Commission's like, yeah, we'll take those remedies. They pushed a deal across. Now, here's the thing, folks. I can't say this for sure because I'm not a lawyer, so I have no idea. But if they get the EU Commission to say yes to the deal, they win against the FTC, which they will win in federal court, two of the three, do you close over the UK and just pull Activision content out of there? Because that's what I would do. I don't know if it's legally possible, but what you do is you say, okay, you're not going to pass the deal, because I know there's something to the effect, well, if they do that, they can't do business there at all. I mean, is there a scorched earth button that says, well, you're going to block this deal, Japan approved it, potentially Australia is going to approve it, China's probably going to approve it, the FTC lost, they're going to have to bend the knee, they have approvals in South Africa and all these other regions, It's crazy that all these other regions said, yeah, and with no concessions, mind you.
Zero.
Somehow the CMA says, yeah, no dice. This is a bad deal. Is there a scorched earth button that can be pressed that you say, you know what, we're pulling out of the UK altogether? It's a small region for Microsoft.
Yeah, that'd be difficult. I think Dutch was talking about that last night. He said the infrastructure is too deep and the logistics of it would be almost damn near impossible. But it doesn't have to stop with that. It doesn't have to stop with that specific area, like let's say gaming, for example, or even cloud infrastructure. They could certainly go after the more important thing, like the national security, for example, right? That's a situation. I'm looking at someone in the chat mentioned Florian Mueller. It says go check him out at Foss Pat.
He has been on a tear.
Yeah, he's basically been tweeting every 5 minutes for the last like hour. And he's talking about all these different things. He says, but the next step really is, again, when it comes to Microsoft, not us, but in terms of Microsoft, it's got to be the patience. Yep. And then the patience of waiting for what happens with the EU, because if the EU ends up supporting the situation, then that's when the CMA could be overruled, right, at that point. And then same thing with the FTC. The FTC is going to have to bend the knee at some point, but they're also going to be going to, what are they going to court in August, right? Yeah. In which case they most likely will lose. The bigger thing is, once again, like they were saying, the CMA could be overruled by either a government minister. Okay. And this is what the Florian Mueller is talking about. Microsoft is relevant to the UK economy and national security, and this has implications beyond ABK.
Someone said that this morning that the prime minister could get involved.
Right. Yeah. And if he thinks that this is going to be an issue moving forward when it comes to the national security of the country, especially considering where they're located geographically, with all the stuff that's going on in Europe, right, the turmoil that's going on in certain parts of Eastern Europe and everything else, this could be a serious problem. And of course, like I said, once again, it's not like the United States, which is kind of on its own, if you think about it, in that part of the world. I mean, you're attached to us. You know, what are we gonna do? You know what I mean? We're pretty much the same thing. The only difference is that we say A at the end of our sentences. That's it. But we're the same people. And then South America's right there. What's South America gonna do? Nothing. So the thing is, but look at where the UK is. Okay, the UK is geographically relatively close to, you know, Eastern Europe. When you got Russia, you got the Ukraine and everything and all that nonsense going on over there. And then of course you got other places as well. You're looking at like China and everything else, a lot closer there than it is here. Right. So you look at that. I mean, they're not going to want any interruption or any especially cyber attacks and everything else like that, which seems to be more prevalent. OK, especially with the Chinese and the Russians. You don't want to make any waves in that department. Do you want any hiccup in your service when you've got the Chinese and the Russians hacking continuously? Attempting to hack continuously in your system? What do you think the Pentagon goes through every day? How many millions of hacks that they've tried?
This has so many levels to it, dude.
I think that what they're going to do is they're going to stop it. Someone's eventually going to say, guys, cut the crap, because you're going to, if you create waves, this is going to, once again, like Florian Mueller said, this is going to have implications beyond.
Yeah.
Gaming. This has nothing to do with gaming at this point. This is bigger than gaming. Microsoft is way bigger than gaming. And then when you start talking national security, now it's getting touchy. So they got to be very, very careful where they tread. And listen, I don't think that Microsoft didn't have this card up their sleeve the entire time. I bet you a year and a half ago, they have an entire list of contingency plans ready to go for all scenarios. Yeah. Okay, this is a scenario if this happens. This is a scenario if this happens. And then when you look at something like the FTC, or sorry, the FTC, the CMA, and they go, okay, well, if they disapprove, then we could play the national security card. We could do that, put pressure on them in that respect. Politically, because political pressure
have massive political implications. Like I said, I know that people, we're gamers, right? We're not here for the political shim sham, because it's
no, not
politics are gross, but this is why they immediately put the call into we're going to go to, because this is I think the block on this deal falls under the line of irrationality, or not being rational. I think that the cloud conversation is weak. I think that there is no cloud, especially like, for instance, like I know people were talking about Luna just got into the UK. Luna wasn't a part of the conversation. We know Amazon has a problem with Microsoft. I'm sure that Microsoft could potentially offer them a deal and say, hey, listen, you want these games on Luna, take it. It's fine. And I had like a 20% possibility last night, Mag, of this deal, the decision being turned. After seeing Florian Merlot, after reading Jez Corden's article, after seeing what people are saying, the new information about Lina Khan meeting with the CMA a week and a half prior screams collusion, in my opinion. I have moved my thinking just based on 24 hours from 20% to well over 50% that this deal is going to get reversed. And I know Luke Steele, who's incredibly smart and a real asset to having him on any of our shows, says that this has never happened. It always has to happen at least once for that to change. I think that this might be one. This deal is just too big to be shuttered as just, hey, we're blocking it. I just don't see it. I think that there's enough evidence in front of us. If it's being denied by other regions around the world, then I say that this deal is bad.
But right,
you
that's
have
the thing.
So many that have passed it already, Mag.
Yeah, that's the thing, Boom. It's the lack of consistency, right? I mean, sorry, there's a consistency to everybody else's decision, but there's all of a sudden this wedge just showed up. I'm not going to lie to you. I usually am pretty damn good with my predictions the way that I see things play out. This one legitimately shocked me. I mean, I wasn't the only one, but I mean, I was legitimately shocked by the result. I couldn't believe that it was denied. I was like, I mean, it didn't affect me anyway. At the end of the day, guys, it's gonna affect us maybe down the road. But like, even if this deal closed right now, we weren't gonna see the fruits of this labor for a couple of years anyway, or at least a year and a half, especially when it came to Call of Duty and anything else like that, right? So, you know, it wasn't really going to have a direct impact on us immediately. It's not like if the deal closed tomorrow, all of a sudden we get flooded with all these games coming straight to Game Pass. Not going to happen, okay? It's going to take time. But I was shocked by this whole situation. But the thing is, and that's why, because if you look at the trend, just like you said, Boom, you look where everything was going and everybody was heading in the direction with zero concessions, then all of a sudden to be basically almost like sucker punched, that's the way it came across to me, is that they were sucker punched. And I was like, what?
I actually think Microsoft and Activision were taken aback. Like, I really, really think, just based on some of the social media tweets going on the night before,
they thought they had it.
Everything was copacetic, and they woke up to this. I think honestly, they were broadsided.
All of us were, Boom. I was shocked by it. Again, I have no dog in this race, but I mean, for me to just look as an outsider, watching the drama unfold, I was just like, holy cow, this just added some major, you know what I mean? Some major twists and turns to the story here. Yeah. So it's pretty wild, but I'm excited to see where this keeps going, because it's kind of, at this point, I've let go of the thing. You know, I'm like, you know what? I'll pay the $100 for Call of Duty. Who cares? I'll just pay it if I'm going to buy the game. Or if I want Diablo, I'll pay the $100 for Diablo.
Which
That's
is what
fine.
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw you bought the $100 edition.
At the end of the day, Mag, this is the conversation that is going to continue in the next couple of days. Like we said last night, more as the information is provided, you're going to cover it on Colt's channel. Sure. I'm going to cover it on Double Barrel Gaming. I'm sure you're going to have many other people covering it, because it's an interesting story. But I think ultimately it's the collusion aspect that has me very concerned, that someone that represents the United States, the American people, is colluding with a foreign governments, meaning the UK, to block the American business from doing business in other countries. It's crazy. But listen, we got to talk about Star Wars. I really want to talk about this game. I'm very excited. I mean, Star Wars has been in an upswing. You know, the Ahsoka show is coming. Cal Kestis is going to make his way into live action at some point. The Mandalorian season 3, me and Mrs. Boom absolutely loved it. It was a little short, but we learned later on that they wanted to make it longer, but that the next season is going to be even bigger. Which I can't wait for. But let me catch up on Super Chats and we'll get into Star Wars.
Sure.
Jedi Survivor. Dreadful Sean drops not one but two $5 Super Chats and says, never say never. You will usually find yourself being wrong. And that's very true. He adds an additional $5 Super Chat and says, the UK is still salty about what happened in 1776. Knocking America only way that they can. I get it. It's salty, but I think the American government has an amazing relationship with the UK, which is why I find this decision to be a farce. I really do. Sir X-Men drops not one, but two $2 Super Chat and says, seriously, check your DM, sent something big. Thank you so much for that, brother. We opened the show with that. He drops an additional $2 Super Chat and says, after the block, I started seeing Redfall trails. As a matter of fact, somebody in the chat said that while they started the show, today's show, there was a Redfall trailer on my YouTube channel.
Oh, interesting.
Pretty freaking cool. Brett Bingham drops a $2 Super Chat and says, in my opinion, I think it's a violation of due process. I mean, you might be definitely onto something, but I want to talk about quickly Jedi Survivor. Now, Star Wars has a history of having a few pretty great games. Not a lot, Mag. Respawn Entertainment did something for EA, who has had a pretty bad and spotty relationship with the brand. They have really, you know, when they had full-on control of Star Wars as an IP, they released Battlefront 1, which was a disaster. Battlefront 2 was even worse with the microtransactions. They ultimately were good games, but they were marred in controversy. And then Respawn took on and surprised the world with Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, which was a masterclass achievement by leaps and bounds. So when we all learned that Star Wars Jedi Survivor was going to continue the story of Cal Kestis, we all cheered. Well, folks, the game is coming out this Friday, and it is getting some stellar reviews. Good friend of the program, great friend of the community, Benji Sales, put out a list. It's currently at an 87 Metacritic. It's at an 86 Open Critic. VGC gives it a perfect score, 5 out of 5. Gaming Trend gives it a 95 out of 10. PlayStation Universe gives it a 9.5. Game Informer, 9.3. IGN, 9. Push Square, 9. Inverse, 9. Easy Allies, 9. Shaq News, 8 out of 10. GameSpot, 8 out of 10. Metro, 8 out of 10. Now, Shinobi, 602, put out a bunch of reviews as well. Tech Raptor gave it a 9 out of 10. True Gaming, 9 out of 10. Inverse, 9 out of 10. Gaming Trend, 9.5. We know that Xbox Era, it was reviewed by Jesse Norris, gave it a 9.4 out of 10. These are incredible scores. This is very exciting. If you are a Star Wars fan, which I am, I know that you are. Is this a day one purchase? Are you dropping everything that you're playing right now to get into Star Wars Jedi Survivor, which releases tomorrow?
Yes. And, you know, the funny thing is that when they first announced it, there was so little fanfare around. Mm-hmm. There weren't many people talking about it. And they were like, oh, yeah, it's coming, whatever. And then I'm like, okay. And then when it got closer to and I saw it, now the funny thing is, I swear I think I've only seen about 30 seconds of footage of the game. And the reason why is because I didn't really want to see it. I wasn't actively like ignoring it. I just didn't pay any attention to it. But then people who got their hands on it started playing it. And I was like, yo. Right? And all of a sudden this became a thing. So I ended up buying it. Obviously, I'll be playing it day one. That's tomorrow. So I'm excited. Or even midnight if I could stay up late enough. But unlikely. So I'll wait till tomorrow night. And then I'm going to be playing it. Absolutely. Now, the thing is, what I found interesting is that they said the one thing that the review said, and I read about 4 or 5 of them, they all said the same thing. They improved on all of the minor faults of the first game. And that is the key to success. Respawn has listened to the fans. They listened to the reviews and they said, tweak everything for the better. It is very difficult to have a great game and then make a sequel and make it even better. You know, it's usually the way that it works is that they release a mediocre game and then they'll release a sequel that's better. Like, for example, like Uncharted. If you look at the first Uncharted, a lot of people thought it was a mediocre experience. They thought it was okay at best.
Yeah. Uncharted 2.
Uncharted 2 was a
masterpiece.
10. Right. So it was easy to go up from there, right?
Yeah.
But when you already have a game that was already pretty much in the upper echelons of what you would consider to be a light Souls-like experience slash action game, you know, and it was already like in the upper echelons of that, it's difficult to go even higher than that. Somehow they did it. But you know what? Look who you're talking about. You're talking about, you know, Vince Zampella and his team at Respawn. I know Zampella's working on Battlefield now, which, by the way, gives me massive hope for the future of Battlefield, because you look at the two games that they released on top of Apex Legends, which is not my jam, but still, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to ever diss it because it's not what I play. But it is pretty remarkable that, like, everything this guy touches is gold. Right. Mm-hmm. And then we're looking at the Titanfall, which I've almost forgot about. Right. And then the incredible campaign there. Never mind the history and the pedigree with Call of Duty and everything else. Right. So I'm excited for it. Now, my only gripe with the first one, I got to tell you, was the backtracking was egregious at best. That was the most ridiculous. The maps were way too bloody big. And it got to the point where, like, you get to a planet and you're like, all right, I got to get over here to go pick up this one thing after, like, you know, like a post-game sort of thing, like going back to pick up collectibles and stuff. And it would take like an hour and a half to get back to this one spot. And I'm like, come on, guys, you got to be kidding me. And the map, holy good God in heaven. You remember the map?
The map was egregious.
And read Egyptian hieroglyphics and trying to understand what they were saying. You know what I mean? I was like looking at this map and I'm like, what the hell is this? Where am I going? Like, you know, and then I'm spinning it in circles, upside down, upside right, looking at this. I'm twisting it around. It's contorting like a stage member at Cirque du Soleil. It's like all over the place. And I'm like, come on, guys, get this map under control. And that was my biggest complaint. It was the map. And now, the thing is, they said they fixed a lot of problems from the first game. I did not see anybody specifically mention that, but I'm praying that that was one of the things that they at least simplified a little bit, right? Like, if you're going to have a multi-layer map, do it the way Resident Evil did. Boom, you played Resident Evil 4, right? The remake there?
I'm actually playing through it a second time. Yeah.
Oh yes. Oh, I'm getting 100% completion on it. I'm going to do it. It'll be the first Resident Evil I've ever attempted it. But anyways, if you look at the multi layers of that map, you literally just use the directional pad, right, up and down, and you could just move it like that, and you could see, and it highlights each level, and you could see the simplicity of it, where you're like, okay, I know exactly where I am, I know exactly where I need to go to do, you know, X, Y, and Z, right? So I hope they fix that. But I did notice that there's a lot more. There was a minor amount of traversal and things like that in the first game. I mean, it looked like there were more, but there actually wasn't. You know, there was a little bit of shimmying across a couple of cliffs and things like that. I'm wondering if this game has a lot more of that. So it's more of like an Assassin's Creed, you know, Valhalla, whatever, like one of those RPG Assassin's Creed games where there's a lot of traversal, things like that, as well as the action. And of course, this, you know, the lightsaber play and all that kind of stuff. So anyways, either way, I'm incredibly interested. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to actually see it. And I am so grateful that I've only seen about 30 seconds of gameplay, because then at that point, this is all new to me, right? I see, like, right now, like, what's her name there from? I can't remember her name. Someone help me out. Oh, Alana Pierce. Alana Pierce is playing it live right now. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see somebody else playing the game, right? I want to wait until it's in my hands and it's I get to experience it firsthand. And that's all there is to it. I'm not watching any gameplay, nothing like that. I want to be surprised by it. So anyways, I heard it's huge, though. That's another thing that a lot of the reviewers are saying the game is huge. So I'm wondering, how big is big? You know what I mean? Like how big of an open world are we talking about here? So I don't know. But I will give my review in the next few weeks as I go, because obviously I don't work for anybody. So when I make reviews for myself. So I'll do it after a couple of weeks and that kind of thing. So anyways, it was a guaranteed purchase. It should be for everybody else. Once again, we've got Zampella at the helm, Respawn at the helm. They don't seem to miss, right? So that's all there is to it. Hey, you know, it's interesting that, what's his name? Gamer by Choice, he said that. Boom's going to read the Super Chats when he comes back. But yeah, Starkiller from the Force Unleashed, that would be an interesting storyline to take on. To say, yeah, you never know where that's going to go in the future. So we'll see what happens there. But anyways, I guess I'm going to be talking solo for a minute here. So anybody, somebody in the chat, say hi to me. See what's going on. Everybody else.
No, good. No, no, no. Sorry about that. I did. You know what? I didn't realize I was muted, which is crazy.
Oh, I thought you left. So I'm like, no, I'm just going to host a one-man show for a minute here.
I was talking for a minute, and then I was wondering why you weren't responding. So there you go. There's that.
Everybody in the chat saying hi now because I said, guys, say hi to me in the chat. Boom's gone. So now I'm looking. Everybody's going, hi, Meg. Hi, what's good, Meg?
So real quick, we have Jacob Novick drops an additional $5. Who Jen says, some news. Turn 10 released a video where a blind man shows how Turn 10 made an accessibility feature where you can play the new Forza Horizon if you're blind. Wow. What? I mean, that is – I just saw something on it, but I didn't click on it. I'm gonna definitely. He says he drops an additional $2 super chat and says it's beautiful and wonderful. It absolutely is. Everyone should be able to game and enjoy games and just wow, man. Turn 10 just really did something. Jacob Nova has become a channel member, so Jacob, thank you so much for the super chats as well as the generosity. Yeah. Mag, before we get on out of here, oh no, Gamer by Choice, bring Starkiller back. Cal is forgettable at best. Yeah, I don't know. We only had one game with him. Starkiller is interesting for sure. And I'd love to see them bring him back or, you know, do something with the Force Unleashed because those are two amazing, amazing games. Remember the first time you had that, you brought a Star Destroyer from out of space and you crashed it? I mean, just crazy, just absolutely crazy.
Yeah, that was a great scene.
Before we get on out of here, because folks, this is just a 70-minute show. We're going to continue this conversation tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Breakfast at Boom. Obviously, Web Dave, Fuzzy Belvedere, and Dreadpool are going to have a lot to say on the blocking decision, but more importantly, the information that has just been dropped today regarding what I believe to be collusion between Lena Khan and the head of the CMA. I think there's some real trouble potentially coming for both of them, especially because Lena Khan is already under fire by the United States government for losing so many cases. But, you know, it's been suggested by several Congress folks that she is stifling American business by colluding potentially with other foreign entities, which is just madness. My question to you, Meg, is when this game has been compared to kind of Souls-ish when you use the lightsaber battles.
Yes.
I am not going to play this like a Souls game. I'm going to play this from a story mode perspective. Now, some people may clown on me and be like, oh, you're not a real gamer. Listen, I barely have time to play games because I stream 5 days a week, and that's incredibly important to the channel and for me and Mrs. Boom to provide good content. I'm not going to die on a boss battle 17 times to enjoy Star Wars because that will ruin it for me. So I'm going to play it in the story mode. For you, how are you going to play it?
I am going to, first of all, I'm going to get a feel for what I'm dealing with here because they said there's some changes and things like that. So let's see how they, like I said, I'm basically in the dark. I read the reviews, but I stayed away from all the stuff. I've stayed away from footage. I would imagine it plays like the first one, but it, I don't know. I is this going to be the game that I'm going to go for that 100% completion? Maybe. It all depends on the design of the game. And that, like I said, that was my complaint with the first one. And that's what stopped me from going back to doing the full completion is because the ridiculousness and of the maps that were just way too convoluted, way too complex, and just a complete time sink. It was a waste of time going back. And yeah. I didn't enjoy it. And that's the bigger problem. The bigger problem is, like, for example, Resident Evil. When I play through a Resident Evil game, if the game is great, which they always are, I have zero issues going back to play the game again because it's all based on the design of the game. So I'm going to see from there. As for the Souls-like of it, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how difficult it is. Like I'll do what I always do. I start on standard and I move up and down from there, depending on how ridiculous the game is, you know, is designed. Right. So we shall see. So when I fire up that lightsaber tomorrow, you'll know by next primetime gaming exactly where I sit with that game. Right. So I'm going to give it a shot this weekend. I haven't even turned on Dead Island 2 yet. I just got Dying Light 2, which was on sale for 50% off, which they did a massive update for. They added the gut feeling update. So now all the guts and the gore match what they do in Dead Island. I don't know if you heard about this. So
no.
They added that. Oh, yeah, they added that. And the game comes out. And sorry, and the sale went on the same day that Dead Island 2 came out. So Techland clearly has some bad blood. But anyways, all of that, right? So I haven't even touched Burning Shores yet, and I'm still playing Resident Evil 4. So there's a lot to go on, but it's going to be pretty damn hard to ignore Jedi Survivor. So I'm really looking forward to it. And I will be on there tomorrow checking
it out. Me too. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for this week's new episode of X Vlog Live. Of course, I'm your host, Mr. Boomstick for Mag. By all means, brother, sell your brand. Where can people find you on social media to see some of your antics? But more importantly, find you with Colt Eastwood on Monday evenings.
Thank you very much, Boo, for having me. It was a pleasure doing a one-on-one with you. Like I said, it's very rare we get to sit down and do this, right? So it was a wonderful occasion. And chat, you guys were awesome and amazing as always. Thank you guys, Matthew Hanks. Thank you guys for all the well wishes. I appreciate it. But of course, you can find me every Wednesday on this channel and on Double Barrel Gaming every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard on Primetime Gaming. And Monday nights, you can find me with Colt Eastwood, of course, at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Mondays. And that's for the XNC podcast. I am going to be working on some solo content that's going to be coming up soon. I don't know whether I don't think I'm going to do it on YouTube. I'm not really sure where I'm going to do it, but I'm going to be doing some stuff. I might even just get the blue check mark so I can do like unlimited videos on Twitter and just do it like that, because I'm not really doing it for like any monetization. I just do it for the love of the community and everything else. So keep your eyes open for that. I've been doing some behind the scenes stuff on that, and that'll be coming up shortly. But anyways, Boom, I know you got to go. I got to go. It's been great chatting. We will see you guys on Wednesday. And happy gaming, everybody, for the weekend coming up. And we'll talk to you guys real soon.
Yeah. Thank you again, folks, for all the super chats that came in. I super, super appreciate all the generosity, the channel memberships, the super chats. They help the channel more than you know. Of course.
There was two quick ones that came in. Sorry, last second.
Oh, no. Let me get to them. Hold on a second.
Jacob Novick.
Okay, hold on a sec. You don't want to forget any of them because here they are. Jacob Novick drops another $2 and says, I'll say this, Gran Turismo 8 needs to take notes from turn 10. I absolutely agree. And Silent Cypher, good friend of the program and panel member to Xbox, the Xbox International Podcast with Crazy Lou and that group of an incredible community members, you should definitely subscribe, says Khan in all caps. That's the running joke. Yeah, I think Khan is going to find himself in a bit of a pickle, to be honest with you. But of course, folks, I want to say thank you again for joining us. And I'm going to close the show with something that's important to me, folks. Hopefully one day it'll be important to you. And that's something that my dad taught us when we were kids. And he would say, Craig, treat others how you want to be treated. And also, it doesn't cost anything to be nice. Live by those rules, son. I can guarantee you're going to have an awesome day. So take care, everyone, and we'll see you next week on the newest episode of X Vlog Live.